Welcome to the Jeremy Mullins podcast. I am Jeremy, your host, and I'm here today with my co-host, Mr. Reno, and a special guest today, Kevin Fromm. Did I get it right? Fromm?
Yep.
Okay. I always pronounced it Froom before, maybe because your sports car is like fast, like room, zoom, zoom, Froom, the count.
Sure. Works.
You've been called worse, right?
A lot worse.
Hey, speaking of called bad things, we got our first one-star review.
Yeah, that's right. And really, whoever you are, if you're leaving a one-star review, you got to put your name, you got to put, and it put a fake name. Just put what we're doing wrong or what you don't like. Don't just give a one-star. That's crazy.
I'll be more than happy to improve. I mean, I get it. Like, I try to not speak in Appalachia, you know, so you guys can understand me. Like, we can put captions up if you don't understand me. Like, whatever's needed. We just want to improve on it, right?
That's right.
But it's, you know, we laugh about it. Like, hey, we're not going to be for everybody. I understand that. Like, a lot of the message may, you know, not be what people want to hear. And that's okay, you know. So, but all jokes aside, like, hey, throw in there if it's something that we can improve on. Let us know. It could be the quality of the video. Cool. It could be the quality of the sound. Like, let us know. You know, those are things that we want to work on. So,
yeah, right now we're looking at, so we have 51 5-star reviews on Apple Podcast and one measly 1-star review. And we're, after this episode, actually probably tonight, we're going to jump over the 7,000 downloads mark. So that's 7,000 of you guys listening on every episode on a weekly basis. So, keep listening, and obviously don't forget, we have two presenting partners right now. We have GreenUp Wealth Management, which, with the link below in the YouTube and on the podcast things, you can get a free consultation with them. And then with Summit Rejuvenation Clinics, you can also get a free consultation with them. And they also will work with you and get blood worked at a local place near you, and go over your numbers and all that stuff at no cost. So again, jump on those, Summit Rejuvenation and Green Wealth Management.
Awesome. Well, hopefully today with our guest, we will get more 5-star reviews. We tell the story of Kevin, and you know, for those that are listening, I'm going to kind of, you know, paint a photo for you and kind of imagine this, you know. But, you know, think of a middle-aged father that is 150 pounds, you know, overweight, right? And we talked about this being 30 to 40%, you know, body fat. And there's a lot of people that are in this, like, for whatever reasons in life, you know, things happen. We're not able to put the effort, the time, we're not able to prioritize, you know, ourselves, you know, and we get into these situations. But then imagining 12 months later, you know, being down 145, 150 pounds, going from 30 to 40% body fat to single digit body fat, you know, and single digit body fat, and we'll touch a little bit on this, on a DEXA scan, which is kind of the gold standard when it comes to testing body fat. You know, those are the results, Kevin, that you got last year, which are just, you know, nothing short of amazing.
Yeah, it was a lot of work, a lot of work and a lot of consistency, but frankly, it was an enjoyable process and I wouldn't go back and change any part of it. So it was an awesome journey. And I'm still learning.
For the listener, you know, that doesn't, I know a lot of people know Kevin because, you know, right now our listeners are a lot of people that, you know, I work with, a lot of people that are on Team Alpha, which is, you know, the team that I, you know, coach inside of the First Form app. Kevin was one of my winners last year in the, is it summer, or they all run together?
Summer. Yeah.
Summer challenge. He won the lifestyle, you know, portion of that. And we've been working on the app together for a little bit over a year. And the beautiful thing about, you know, inside the app is I get to know individuals, you know, like yourself, you know, more and more as we go along, right? We were talking a little bit offline with this, you know, in the beginning of challenges, when there's just a lot of messages and a lot of people, I'm herding cats, for lack of better terms, right? I'm trying to get people, you know, consuming the protein, walking on a daily basis, like getting in there. And before we start getting into the journey and us asking some questions, just tell us a little bit more, tell the listener about yourself, you know, where you're from, you know, talk about your wife, talk about your kids, what you do. And then in that, with how you've improved in all aspects, right? And we'll put up the before and after photos where people can literally look and see before and after what the difference between 30% body fat, close to 40% body fat. And we're guessing at that, guys, because listen, I asked him earlier and he's like, Jeremy, I don't know. I didn't have it tested. I didn't want to test it. So we're guessing at that number. So we're going to be able to see that difference, but kind of touch on like how you've improved in other aspects.
Okay. Well, yeah, my name's Kevin Fromm, and I live in Gilbert, Arizona, which is a suburb on the southeast side of Phoenix. My wife and I and two kids moved here about 3 years ago from the Pacific Northwest. We lived in about 30 miles north of Seattle, Washington, and decided to move down here. We've got family down here, and just the lifestyle is a little bit different what we were looking for. So we moved here with a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old at the time, and now they're 4 and 7. And I work in construction, commercial construction, and it's a desk job. I don't swing hammers and use tools, so it's a pretty sedentary job. And I think I got used to the sitting behind a desk and then going home and vegging out, not really doing a whole lot. And I think when the COVID pandemic came around, I started doing that even more, where I wasn't even leaving the house and I wasn't really doing much of anything. And frankly, for me, my wife actually, she says she didn't even realize I was drinking as much as I was, but I was drinking quite a bit. And that's just a lot of calories that I was consuming, and the food that I was eating was processed stuff. It was in a bag and in a box, or it was restaurants, or it was takeout. That's a lot. Most of what my diet was, if I ate steaks, it was big ribeye steaks, and I'd eat all the fat off of them, which is delicious, but I don't do that anymore. I still eat plenty of steak though. So, anyways, I had a lot going for me. I still, look back at what I had in my life and the trajectory it was on, and I had a great life by, every measure. My wife was supportive and amazing. I had two great kids. But my wife was someone, she worked out pretty consistently, and I started reflecting on how I was feeling about things, and it was interesting. I found that I was resentful of her working out, and it was resentful because she would go to bed early instead of staying up till midnight with me watching TV. And she was going to bed early because she was waking up early working out. And it was November of 22, November 27th of 2022, and I decided I needed to make a change. And I did. So I sent her a text. She was asleep, and I said, "I'm starting 75 hard tomorrow." And I'm somebody, when I write something down, I'm pretty well committed to it. So I wrote out a big long text to her, and I said, "This is what I'm doing. This is why I'm doing it. It's going to be hard, but I need you to push me. And when I don't want to do it, you need to push me harder." And thankfully, she did. So the days that I didn't want to, she pushed me. We were in Flagstaff in early December, so like 2 weeks later, and Flagstaff is one of the snowiest cities in the country. And I remember, I'm like, I just started 75 hard. I gotta go do an outdoor workout, and it's 9 degrees and it's snowing. And she made me go do it. So that was the type of support she gave me. She pushed me to do it. And then it was right about that time, early December too, I found the first form app, and that's when I connected with you, Jeremy. I joined your team, got on your team just by happenstance. But you gave you you know you did we did the weekly check-ins. I would do my assessments and you would respond. I don't think I've even told you this. So I signed up right at the time period where the New Year challenge was open. For the new year, and like I took pictures and it says you've entered the challenge, and I'm like, what the heck, I don't want to be in some challenge. And so I deleted the photos, and so I don't know if that screwed up anything on your end, but I was so embarrassed of where I was that I didn't want to be like in the challenge. And so I don't think I ever told you that, but that is something I did. So if you look in the first format, my first pictures are January 9th, because it was after the challenge period.
Gotcha.
close. So that's why that's in there that way. So, but anyways, with the weekly check-ins and everything, I just listened to your advice. I did what you suggested I do. I ate the macros that you suggested. I followed that very, very diligently and strictly, and learned to love the workouts. I loved the resistance training. And I literally just would do the resistance training and walking, which turned into rucking shortly after.
And
So.
there's a couple pieces I want to pull out of this, and the first one being 75 Hard, which is a discipline program that Andy Frisella, designed and made. And Andy's one of the owners of First Form, who I'm employed through. And I always with that, like there is a lot of corresponding things to 75 Hard and doing well within a challenge, right? And the other thing you mentioned, Kevin, like, and I've done this with the coaching platform now, because there's a lot of people that come and say, Jeremy, I'm not worried about the challenge. I'm like, cool, listen. A challenge is just a given period of time that we're chasing results, right? Like that's what the app is. It's a coaching platform for me, right? With 75 Hard, I want people walking every day anyway. Well, that's part of it. The discipline piece, of course, that has to be outside, right? Cool. You have to follow a diet. Generally, what I tell everybody, and you've got this with Kevin with me, is okay, you need to define the diet to me. This is my opinion, right? And I'm sure, Andy would back this opinion because it is what I'm giving to my individuals. There needs to be a minimum amount of protein, right? So I feel like if you're doing 75 hard and you're following a diet and part of that diet is tracking macros, if you don't hit your protein goal, then that's a fail in my opinion. There needs to be a minimal amount because I know how important hitting protein is to produce results. Then I usually, if fat loss is the goal, of course, from a standpoint of performance, then we put a total calorie goal. Right. So that's why my opinion. And then of course the quality of foods would come into play with 75 hard. But like you mentioned, two workouts a day, a gallon of water a day, take your photo, read. Those are all things done to build discipline inside of that. So that's generally what I do is I just fine-tune that. Like, Roger that, cool. Yes, do 75 hard. Here are the nutrition tweaks that I wanted. And that's what we did, with you. And the other thing you mentioned that I want the listeners to do is, like you said, life was not bad, right? Like thriving job, thriving family, kids are healthy, wife is healthy, good relationship, maybe a little bit there. You're resenting her just a little bit because she's putting in a little work and you weren't, but it wasn't like things were bad. And I think that happens to a lot of people when we look at making change. We change generally because pain or pleasure. And for you, there was a lot more pleasure in life than there was pain. There just wasn't that stimulant yet to take action. Right until November 22nd. And then you were like, okay, enough is enough. I'm going to take action to take this under control. Right. So I think that's for a lot of people you understand is like, hey, we understand inside of your life, like a lot of times, like things might be going good and it's easy to overlook putting yourself on the back burner. It's easy to overlook 20, 40, 60, 80 pounds until something occurs that causes the pain to where you want to change. Right. And the last one's going to be a little bit of a joke. Now we know why Adam won the year and you didn't, right? You can tease him with that. You didn't enter the New Year challenge. You deleted your photo. So what
No, Adam
happened?
killed it. He totally deserved that. Like truthfully, so I talked about my wife being supportive. Well, she knows that I need to be talked crap to. So we dated in high school, went different ways, and then got back together and got married. So anyway, she's known me a long time, more than half my life.
Hey, and shout out to her too. Like she's kicked butt too,
Oh
right?
yeah.
She's had an awesome, drop some body fat percentage. She hasn't lost a bunch of weight. It's not like she had a lot of weight to lose, but her before and afters and her, especially her upper body, like how much muscle she's put on in her back are amazing. So, I tell her all the time, like, hey, I know Kevin won. I know like he's gotten a little bit of the highlights, but hey, you're kicking butt too. So I just want to throw that out there. So if she listens to this, she knows that we're giving her some praise.
Yeah, she did an awesome job, and I wouldn't have done what I did without her anyway. So she looks incredible. So I'm happy about that too. What I was gonna say though is, so she found Adam on Instagram maybe in August, like July or August. So like mid-summer challenge, and I wanted to win really bad. I just wanted to win. I like to win. I'm super competitive. And she's like, this guy's gonna beat you. And I'm like, who? And she's like, he's gonna beat you. You should look at his pictures. And so I went, looked at his pictures. I'm like, holy crap, he is gonna beat me. So it was like, I gotta go harder. So I mean, he actually inspired me to go even harder. And so Adam totally deserved to win. He won the year and I'm super happy for him. So we'd actually text and talk on the phone and never met him. I hope to meet him. Him and his wife want to come here for a vacation to Lake Havasu. So if they do, we'll connect with him. But
That's awesome. Hey, you guys made me look good, right? That internal competition, like, I think I can't remember if I messaged you on Instagram or him on Instagram, but I got the message mixed up. Basically, the message was the same that I was sending to both of them, but it was like I used the wrong name when I was texting one of them, and I'm like, and I can't remember if it was you or him, and message back like, hey, I think that was for the other one, and I'm like, well, it doesn't matter. I was like, the message is the same. I was like, if he wins, we're pushing hard for the year. If you win, right, I'm pushing him hard for the year. I was like, that's the take-home message. Because both of you guys, finished up that challenge looking good. And you did, like at that moment inside of the summer, you end up leaner and pushed it hard. But I think on the flip side, that had him finishing hard for the year. And proud of both of you guys, in that process. But I'm gonna ask a couple of questions here to kind of get started, especially if someone's in their journey right now. So this is dropping in January and maybe they're just getting started and you lost 145 pounds, but it's not like we race to the bottom to drop your calories, right? Or race to the bottom, to do as much rucking and with the load that you're doing now. It started with, basic protein and calories and walking, and then we slowly build on that. So, speak on that a little bit of like what your mindset was, what you were doing, a year ago in January versus maybe what you added or did throughout the year.
Yeah, so we set up my initial macros, the calorie goals based on my goal body weight. And we ran with that. And I think we landed on like 2,400 calories a day ish. And it was like 250 grams of protein initially. And we ran with that for a couple months. And then through the assessments, you would ask me how I was feeling. And I would respond. And so we actually raised my calories for a while and raised my protein. The highest we ever got was like 325 grams of protein a day. But I would say for the most part, we were at 300 grams. And I'm still doing 300 grams a day now. But we played with the fats and the carbs based on how I was feeling. And I think that is actually one of the big things that helped me stay consistent, because I was eating not an unreasonably low amount of calories. I would say through the year, I probably averaged right around that 2,300 to 2,400 calories. But it was spread out across five or six meals. And so when I tell people, they're like, well, weren't you hungry being in a deficit for so long? And it's, I never really got to the point of I'm so hungry I can't stand it. But I also never got to the point of I'm completely full because I was eating small meals so frequently. And the other thing is, to be at that low of calories with that much protein, I had no choice but to basically use single ingredient foods and make my own stuff. So I was meal prepping everything I would cook on Sunday for the week. And it was a lot of chicken, and I would mix in beef. The beef quantity changed a little bit as I got blood work and talked to both you and my doctor about stuff like my cholesterol actually got below the normal range at one point. So we talked about, okay, what's the minimum fat? So we targeted, I think it was 50 grams of fat daily was the minimum we wanted to hit, to keep that cholesterol up and keep the, I don't know, you could explain it, brain function and what my body needs. But I think that maintaining that calorie range where I was in a 500 or 600 calorie deficit was probably the key. I've had friends that go, 1,200 calories a day, and they just can't, they can do it for a week at a time, but then they need a cheat day, or they can do it for a while and they fall off the wagon. And I mean, for over a year, I never had that issue. So
It's just not sustainable, like a 1200 calorie diet. And remember, guys, we're speaking. Kevin, how tall are you? I just want to give some numbers. Like,
6'2".
yeah, so 6 foot 2, 340, 350 when we first started.
It was 354 on day one.
Okay. So you guys have to remember that, put that in perspective, having him 2,500 calorie diet, that's still a caloric deficit, right? But was able to stay there. And, it also puts in perspective the protein, right? So the reason that had him starting around the 250, the reason I had him start around the 250 was that was kind of goal weight. But I like to do that in my clientele where I will increase protein up. And then, you made a good comment too. Once we're done with the journey, right? So I got Kevin at two down to, and he got himself down to single digit body fat. I just asked, like, hey, where do you feel comfortable at on protein? And you're comfortable at 300 grams. Cool. We're going to stay there. He doesn't have to be at the 300. He could go back to the 250 and be good, but probably you just feel better once again, hunger wise, with a little bit more protein inside of the diet, right? And yeah, we see that. I call it race to the bottom. Everybody thinks, they want to run out, drop calories, increase activity right out of the gate, and it's just not sustainable, right? We like to refer to it on the team as building the snowball, right? We can build that snowball and get that perfect snowball, then what you then can do is then start pushing it so that it gains speed and gains momentum, and all of a sudden it's like boom, boom, boom. And I'm sure you've gotten that in your progress photos. Everybody's like, how did you do it? Right. But if we go back and we show the progress throughout the year, it's not overwhelming success during the first 2 months of the year. We saw success, right? But it wouldn't be something you look at and be like, wow. But when you look at the final photos, you're like, oh my gosh, that's a big difference.
Yeah, and I think when my body fat percentage started to really get lower, like really low, and muscle started to show, and you lose the swelling that I just kind of had, that's when people started to say, wow. But definitely at like the 4 month mark, 6 month mark, people started to ask questions. But I was still overweight. I still looked like an overweight person, but people were starting to notice. And it was really towards the end when I really leaned down and that those pictures looked quite a bit different. So,
Awesome. Now,
So before we jump too far down the line, is this the first time that you tried to kind of change your lifestyle? It sounds like obviously your wife was in it for a while. And if it wasn't, is the whole macro counting, first form style tracking, was that new to you?
So it's not the first time. Glad you asked that. It's not the first time. I've tried numerous times throughout my life. I was always kind of the chunky kid, always kind of the fat kid. I played sports in high school. And so that kept me in reasonable shape, but I never really had good diet habits. And so went to college, gained a bunch of weight, lost some weight when I decided to. And then I tried different things. I tried keto and I tried different things. And the first form, tracking the macros, is what really worked for me. I like precision. I liked weighing my foods. I liked knowing what I was eating and not guessing. If I'm guessing, I'm definitely one who's going to tend to overeat or underestimate what I'm eating. And so, like today, I mean, right before this call, I weighed out my lunch and heated it up. I'm still doing that. And I think that's the key for me. It keeps me accountable. So this is the one that, is gonna stick. And I never lost weight like I did now. I would lose like 10 pounds, 20 pounds. When my wife Ashley and I got married, I went and lost maybe 30 pounds. But that didn't stick because I was running a lot and I was just not eating very much.
Awesome.
Before your next question, I something I pull out of that is, when you're making a big fat loss journey, okay, and we see a lot of people, and everybody always asks me, well, Jeremy, how do you get people to have that quote unquote amount of muscle tissue, when people lose weight? Couple things there. You mentioned your history. When you have a history of being athletic, doing some weight training, and then you gain weight, the good thing about it is you maintain that muscle tissue because you're in a calorie surplus, right? You're in a calorie surplus to gain the weight to begin with. And there's always a benefit of being overweight. And people overlook this. When you are 50, 60, 80, 100, 150 pounds overweight, your body will have good bone density and good muscle tissue. then the role of the, quote, dietitian or the nutritionist should be to maintain that muscle tissue as you're pulling the body fat off, right? And that's the reason I say, like, in your progress photos, why, you look good at the end is we, yes, you dropped the body fat, you got to a low body fat percentage, but you also had that muscle tissue that we maintained that was already built underneath there. So that's something to take into consideration. If you've not, you're a listener and you've not really done a lot of resistance training over your life, you have to understand you might get to the end of your journey and be like, I'm not comfortable with the way I look. I want to gain some muscle tissue. And that's normal. I want the listener to understand that and know that.
Yeah, and some of the percentages out there, and I don't have them offhand, but it was like 60% of the people that want to make a change in their life was likely to health conditions or just preserving lifestyle. But the second and third highest one was just they don't like the way they look in the mirror. They don't feel comfortable going around family parties, friends parties, whatever. So that was like one of the number one reasons why people kind of jumped into it. And I just want to throw these out there. 40. So this is just for you to be motivated to start, and you see Kevin's story, you hear Kevin's story, and follow the pathway. But 44% of North America have tried and are currently trying to lose weight. And then a new study just said one out of two people are trying to lose weight. So 50%. And then Kevin, I don't know your age, but between 20 and 39, you're 50% less likely to lose weight. So the longer you wait for this journey to start, you're just less likely to lose the weight. And then all the way up to 40 to 59 years old, you're 52% less likely to not lose the weight. So you kind of defied the odds. You really fought adversity, whether it was easy the whole time and you kind of didn't think too much through it, but you really
Are you
defied.
assuming my age?
What is it?
Are you assuming my age?
I assumed your age. You
I'm
look like you're
37.
19.
I'm 37.
So look, you were 50% less likely to even do it just based on numbers.
Well, the statistics that you read are the reasons. So I didn't like the way I looked. I didn't actually have any medical conditions that were probably overly alarming. The biggest thing I got was my blood pressure was in the hypertension range. So that was, and the doctor would say you need to lose weight. But I didn't have, I wasn't diabetic. I didn't have any major immediate concerns. So, but it was, I didn't like the way I looked. And ultimately, I think more than anything is I didn't like the habits I was showing to my kids. And because I was uncomfortable and because I lacked energy and lacked discipline, I couldn't be the parent that I wanted to be or the husband that I wanted to be.
We talk about motivation all the time, and motivation, it varies. Some days we're highly motivated, other days we're not, right? And we talk about building habits to, make sure that day in and day out, we're doing these habits to achieve our goals. But you talk about your kids, right? You talked about your wife. What was your why, right? Like, and you said this to me, that was one of your biggest things and that you would recommend to people is to really know their why when they start this journey. What was yours? And why do you feel it's so important that someone knows this when they're starting this journey?
Okay. My why was my wife and kids. So, we probably all have read things about the leading causes of death for people. And one of them is obesity. I think that is the leading cause of death if you really look at, the issues that are outlined. And so I started doing some research on it. And with how overweight I was, what I kind of learned was that I was reducing my life expectancy significantly. Realistically, what I found was it was 10 to 15 years was the best estimate is how much I would shorten my lifespan by being that overweight. And I just wasn't willing to accept that. I wasn't willing to lose the time on the back end and knowing that I was not being present for my wife and kids every single day like I should be. Was what ultimately drove me to change. So that was my strong why. I wanted to be better for them today, every day, but also be there longer than I was setting myself up for otherwise. So that was my why. And I do talk about why and it being an important thing. And to me, your reason why I believe your reason why it needs to be bigger than any of your excuses that you could come up with. So, in Phoenix, Arizona, and I talked about we went on vacation to Flagstaff in early December and it was 9 degrees. Well, it also was 116 degrees. And so that's at in the summer. And so that's quite a temperature range. And there's most people would sit inside and say, I'm not going outside to do an outside workout when it's 116 degrees. But I committed to myself, I committed to my family to do that. And so, and I intentionally did it at the hottest part of the day through the summer. So I would go out and I would do a ruck every single day at 4:30 in the afternoon. To take in that heat. And so as the temperature creeped up into the hundreds and then the 110s and then the 110s, the hottest day I did it was 116. And I was still out there with a rucksack doing 4 miles every single day without fail. And that was probably extreme. I would drink a gallon of water on those hot days. Like I would literally bring a Camelback that holds or 3 liters. So almost a 4 liters, 4 liters I had in it. So over a gallon. I would take that out and I would drink the entire thing. And I think most people would say, don't do that. That's dumb. People told me that you're going to get sick, you're going to get hurt or worse. But I was committed to my journey and committed to doing that. And my kids and my wife were more important than any
Yes.
comfort.
I mean, I look at that as you just assess the risk, right? So when we have these extremely cold weather, you have these extremely hot weather, you're just assessing the risk, right? And you minimize the risk by, okay, hot weather, you dressed a certain way, you provided fluids. That minimizes the risk, right? Same thing if you're going to go out and right now it's cold in a lot of places, right? And it's -5 degrees. Okay, how are you going to minimize the risk of having, issues from the cold? You wear clothing, you wear certain layers, right? So you minimize the risk, but the goal doesn't change, right? The habit doesn't change. It's just the weather, and then you adjust those things. And just so I can get one up on Reno here, and you mentioned it, Kevin, research does suggest, and I'm pulling this from an old social media post, I did the research before, that the more active parents are, then the less likely their kids are to be overweight and obese. And I love that, right? We have, for our kids, like, A, we try to cut down the questions that they have. And what I mean by that is to minimize, it's just like, sorry. Can you hear that background in the truck?
I don't hear anything.
Okay, I'll start over. To minimize, like, questions, A, that my kids are giving me, right? To be a better parent, we've also just kind of made rules. So, like, with our kids, if they want a dessert, as long as they worked out for the day, they can have a dessert after dinner. So, right, it's a yes and no question. Did you finish your dinner? Yes. Did you work out? Yes. Cool. And then you can have ice cream or you can have whatever it is, right? So what we try to do is make where it is just a lifestyle with them. They see it and we do it, and I think that is so true because when you go on these journeys, guys, whether no matter what it is, whether it's a fitness journey, financial journey, building your career, things are going to get hard. There are going to be obstacles, and you need to lean back on what is the real reason you're doing that, right? Because, Kevin, you mentioned earlier, the pain of starting wasn't necessarily health, right? You had high blood pressure. You weren't sick yet to cause the stimulation or the pain to make a change, right? But it was the feeling of not being the best father, best husband that you could be. That was kind of your pain. Right. So I think, yes, like having that why so that you can fall back on that when the obstacles are there is a key to long-term success.
I want to jump back to what Kevin said. It was like people are like, oh, why would you do that? That seems risky or this. Like, why? This is a rant. Why do people, when you're trying to do something better for yourself, all of a sudden want to be like, well, that's a bad idea. You shouldn't do this? Because they become like the health professional, they become the business professional or the social media expert. Like, why do they come out of the woodworks and tell you something's a bad idea when you're just trying to do something that's helpful for yourself and family? Like, I just want to run through a wall when I hear people say
I had, and I can't remember if I've said this on the
that.
podcast or not, but I've had someone say like, protein shakes, though, I would never, they're just the ingredients in them, I would never do it, but they're drinking three sodas a day, literally drinking three sodas a day, but they're afraid to drink a protein shake, right? So it's the kind of the same thing here. Like, you know, it's just it's a perception that, hey, you shouldn't go do this, when really, like, more of us should. Like, hey, you shouldn't sit and watch TV for 6 hours on the weekend. Like, that's unhealthy, right? But if we say that to someone, you know, like, then we're the bad people by saying that, hey, sitting's unhealthy. So we'll stop the soapbox, you know, there. So there's no, our second 1-star rating coming soon.
Well, I mean, Jeff, just with that, like, I mean, how many times have you heard or read that red meat's bad for you and you shouldn't eat red meat? Well, I mean, I did blood work 3 times throughout that year, and the last round, my doctor told me I should eat more red meat. That was her one suggestion: take a vitamin D supplement and eat more red meat. You
Yeah, I
know.
actually haven't heard, not necessarily on this podcast, but like just in general, when people have increased their red meat or just protein in general, they're always like, "Oh, your cholesterol and all this stuff's gonna raise. You're gonna see bad numbers at the doctor's office and all that stuff." Not a single person have I heard once that have increased protein, increased red meat, and all that stuff have come back with bad numbers.
I was eating at the most 325 grams of protein a day, but 300 grams for just about a year. And the doctor, she said my cholesterol was below the acceptable range. I mentioned that earlier. When we looked at it, my good cholesterol was in range. My bad cholesterol was what was below the range, bringing my total cholesterol low. So, you know, my cholesterol was very, very low, but I was still consuming a reasonable amount of fat every day. And because my iron was also on the bottom end of the range, that's where she was saying, okay, well, you can go ahead and add more red meat, or you should add more red meat. But, you know, I was eating a tremendous amount of protein, an amount of protein, like you just said, why people would say, why would you do that? Why would you go to that extreme? 300 grams of protein is an exponential factor more than most people eat in a day. And
But it's, I wouldn't say it's extreme, right? Like, when we've got the data that, you know, you can consume greater than 3 grams of protein per kilogram. And if we break that down, you're nowhere near that. You're actually still a little bit lower than that, right? You know, so that's where, and we can, I don't want to take up their time and your story today, but we can get into that education of like, hey, you know, processed foods, simple carbohydrates and processed foods are going to raise cholesterol levels way more than quote red meat ever will, right? Like, that's most of those studies, unfortunately, were association studies where they just looked at it and been like, oh, well, these people are consuming more animal products and they have high cholesterol, but it wasn't taking into consideration all the lifestyle factors, right? So that's not a cause and effect. So yeah, like, we generally see with weight loss, with fat loss, especially 100-pound losses, blood work improves, right? Like, we see all these improvements inside of these biomarkers, you know, as we go along the journey, and your cholesterol was just one example of what we do see.
Yeah, and all my numbers improved. Test to test, all my numbers got better. So, and it was all, you know, I do use a few supplements, but I'm not on any sort of medication. I don't take a single medicine for anything. So it was all nutrition.
You take the natural medicine, the nutrition.
Yeah.
And this is kind of my final question on my end, but like, what we had an action items episode of, so not so much goals and not so much you got this much protein in or whatever, but like, what were just a few action items that you did on a daily basis that helped you, whether that's, I don't know, waking up early or making your bed, or just like just a couple action items that you think aided your process through the whole time?
Well, I still don't like waking up early. I try to. I set an alarm. It's on my list of things that I don't hit snooze. So sleep is something I definitely struggle with, but I do try and get that 7 to 8 hours of sleep every day. The workouts have become so enjoyable that I don't miss them. I actually just switched my workout routine, and it took 2 lifting days away a week, and I'm not sure I like that very much. So I'm down to 4. But you know, I said, these are the things I'm setting out to do. I'm gonna get as close to 7 hours of sleep as I can. I'm gonna drink a gallon of water minimum. I'm gonna do these 2 workouts. And frankly, I started doing the walking because Jeremy suggested, you know, walk 45 minutes to an hour a day. You know, and as I lost weight, walking became something that I didn't feel like was difficult enough. My sister-in-law suggested, she's in the Army National Guard, and she suggested that I pick up rucking or I try rucking. So I just did that with a backpack and a weight initially, and that turned into really falling in love with that. So that became something I do every day. Just I think it's that. It's the little habits. It's pick a habit and add it to your list, and you have to focus on just one at a time. I wouldn't try and add five new habits all at once, or six habits all at once. I would pick one, stack it with what something else you're doing. There's I can't remember who it is on their podcast, but they talk about if you struggle drinking water, set a glass of water next to your toothbrush. That might have been you, Jeremy. And when you brush your teeth, drink the glass of water. Little things like that. And so that's what I did. I just started finding ways to implement one thing at a time, and it worked.
I love it.
Awesome.
My final question, as we're coming to the end of this, is, what has been maybe the top question that you've got from other people? And we see this all the time. Like, once again, 30 some years old, 100 pounds overweight, you're going to attract other people that are in that same boat. That is human nature, right? When I see someone that is dealing with the same obstacles that I am, whether that be, kids, whether that be young kids, like we tend to, gravitate towards that. So you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm sure that's a lot of people that have been reaching out are late 30s, that have significant amount of weight to lose because that's where you were at. What does that conversation look like? What are you telling them?
It is those people that are in a similar situation. Those are the ones that reach out. I'm not getting people that are in reasonable shape aren't the ones getting a hold of me. It's the ones who have a lot to lose. Most of them are dads. Most of them have kids. And the questions I get is one, just how did you do it is one. And I give a pretty simple explanation on tracking macros. I say start with just measuring and keeping track of everything you're eating so you know where you're at. And then you should be setting macro goals with some sort of advisor and working out and walking. So I tell them that. The other question I get, and maybe it's the most, is how do you find the time? How do you find the time to do that? And I think my response is a little hard, a little harsh, maybe for some people. But I think it's true. I think it's mostly well received is you have to make the time because if you don't, you're going to lose it. So, I didn't look at me spending 2 hours a day working out, or an hour and a half a day or whatever it was. It was generally hour and a half to 2 hours. I didn't look at it as time away, but rather an investment. So the saying, you got to put on your oxygen mask on a plane. They say, put on your oxygen mask before you help someone else. I had to help myself before I could really be there for my kids and my wife, my why. And so spending that time made me a better person all around, which made me a better dad and a better husband. And so I looked at it that way. I put me first. I would do a workout first thing in the morning. And that's what I tell people to do, or I suggest people do. Put yourself first. It's not selfish.
No, and here's the reality. Go back to what you said at the beginning. You were sitting watching TV until 12 o'clock at night. Like, okay, so all you did was replace the time, right? I would argue you spend more time with your kids. You spend more time with your wife now than you did then, right? Even though you're being selfish by working out for 90 minutes. I think that's an excuse a lot of people tell themselves, right? And I get it. There's some days that I don't get a workout because the schedule is packed, right? But for most of us, if you truly look at it, replace with "I don't have time" to you're not making it a priority. Most people have time in their schedule, right? Like we rarely, for me and Katie, like we rarely watch TV shows. A lot of times, like if we do get a vacation, we travel, like that's when you binge watch, shows because you have, the time to do it. But rarely do we watch TV. And if it is TV right now, it's Miss Rachel, like with the kids, the baby, that's what we put on the TV right now. That's part of life. So I think that's important for people to take out of that when you're saying, hey, give yourself, a 90 minutes, 2 hours a day. You've got the time. You just got to be honest with yourself and look and see where you're spending that time at right now.
Yeah, you got to be more efficient with it. So, I mean, like yesterday, I did two workouts yesterday, or a workout, and I went for a ruck, and My daughter had soccer practice at 5:15, and we got there half an hour early so we could go kick the ball around and play. So, like, it definitely made time. It's important, but it's prioritizing time differently.
Awesome. Kevin, great stuff. Like, and I think, in a summary, looking at this, losing 145 pounds, going from, 30, 40% body fat to single digit body fat, telling your story. I think telling the story today on the podcast and Reno, us putting up some before and afters that people can see, is really going to help people understand, like, A, what it takes, B, what needs to be done, and kind of the mindset shift in order to produce those results, right? And I understand a lot of times just looking at a before and after, you don't know the whole story. We can't tell the whole story here in an episode. There's more to it. There's more things that, Kevin had to overcome. But I think, what we did is discuss today is going to help a lot of people and a lot of people who need the help and understanding that they can have success. They just got to make themselves, a priority and understand that, it is a journey that takes time, but they can succeed. Guys, I appreciate you coming on. Kevin, I appreciate you being a guest today. Guys, we hope to bring you guys more people that I've had the honor to, help coach and help them produce results along the way. One last parting, that I'll have as we wrap this up is what's next from, a physical standpoint, now that you're at goal weight, you're at goal body fat, what is next for you? What is Kevin chasing now in his journey?
Well, I refuse to become the statistic that gains it back. So I'm being mindful of that. But I was in a calorie deficit and lost a lot of body fat. And this year I'd like to, I mean, my pictures look like I have lots of muscle, and I think, maybe I do because I had all that extra weight, but I want to add strength this year. So I mean, you and I are focusing on how do I work out differently and how do I eat a little bit differently to support muscle growth. So that's my physical goal, but my personal goal or my professional goal is throughout this journey, I had a goal of starting a business and I started that last year. So as I'm looking forward, the discipline and the habits that I put into fitness are definitely relatable to getting the business moving and going and growing. So that's a big part of my focus in the coming year.
Awesome. I love it. Guys, until next time, I hope you have a great day and we will talk to you soon.
See you.
Guys.